the 11th principle of faith, which is a tremendously important principle of faith, and that is Hashem rewards the righteous, and Hashem punishes the evil. Hashem rewards, so we see, this is one of the big questions, philosophical questions. Tzadik v'ralo, you see a righteous person suffering in this world. And unfortunately, you see too many. There's too many of them. Righteous people suffer in this world. And the wicked are prospering, right? The wicked people are prospering. And the person says, why, Hashem, why? Why do the righteous suffer? Why do the wicked prosper? And Hashem says, you're just seeing this world. You don't see the end. You're just seeing one part of the movie. You're not seeing the end part of the movie. We don't see the other side of the movie. And that's what the 11th principle does. It equalizes everything and gives us faith that Hashem eventually will punish those who deserve punishment. And Hashem will reward those who deserve reward. It's a beautiful story, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he was alive in the destruction of Beitar. Beitar, you know Beitar, right? Bar Kokhba revolt. He also was very close to the end of the first temple, second temple period. He probably saw the destruction of the second temple. We don't know for sure. But he definitely saw the results of the destruction of the temple. He saw the temple being destroyed. The end of it. The destruction. The actual destroyed temple. He saw foxes coming out of the Holy of Holies. And then he goes to Rome. And after seeing all the destruction in Israel, he sees the tremendous might of Rome. And all the rabbis who see Rome, they're crying. Jerusalem is destroyed and Rome is prospering. Why, God, why? Why is Jerusalem destroyed and why is Rome prospering? And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. He says, Akiva, you're crazy? Why are you crazy? He says, if Hashem rewards those who transgress His will, how much more so He'll reward those who keep His will? So we have to have faith. That's the faith. It's the 11th principle of faith. That eventually we'll see everything come around. Eventually we'll see the man who is serving Hashem, the woman who serves Hashem, will get payment. And the wicked will get the just rewards. And this is one of our faith, the principles of faith. A woman who brings the water to the rabbi is definitely going to get reward. She's definitely going to get reward, Baruch Hashem. And her name is Rivka, so definitely she's going to get reward. And so we see, even though a person says, you know, where's my reward? Hashem says, don't worry. It's better for you this way. It's better for you this way. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nivra. So, a person knows, has to know, that there is reward and punishment, and nothing in this world escapes God's attention. That's a dangerous thing. Even our thoughts doesn't escape God's attention. That's a dangerous thing. Hashem knows what's in our minds. He knows which person has good thoughts in their head, which person is bad thoughts in their head, what person is a good person in their head, what person is evil in their head. Hashem knows everything. We talked about that already. But here we're talking about reward and punishment. And the greatest possible reward is something you can't even see. Olam Haba. Olam Haba is eternal. It's immortality. It's the immortality of the soul. It's being close to Hashem. And it's something which we have to talk about. The only thing we can grasp regarding Olam Haba is Shabbat. Shabbat is Me'en Olam Haba. Me'en Olam Haba, Shabbat Makita. That's what we sing in our song, right? Me'en Olam Haba, Shabbat Makita. Shabbat, the queen Shabbat is Me'en Olam Haba. It's a little hint to Olam Haba. It's a little bit of Olam Haba. It's 1/60th of Olam Haba, the rabbis say. It's 1/60th of Olam Haba. What does that mean? That means Olam Haba is somewhere where you don't have to strive. And the rabbis say a beautiful analogy. He said, if you worked Erev Shabbat, if you prepared your food for Erev Shabbat, you will enjoy Shabbat. If you didn't prepare your food Erev Shabbat, you're not going to enjoy Shabbat. What does that mean? That means if you prepared your food, you prepared being good in this world, which is Erev Shabbat, then you're going to enjoy the world to come, which is Shabbat. If you weren't prepared in this world, you're not going to enjoy the next world. So it's very important to prepare. Now is the time to prepare ourselves. So the greatest possible reward is the world to come, and the greatest possible punishment is what's called karet. The Torah says karet, which is the soul is cut off. The soul is cut off, which means the soul does not live forever. It just dies, Rambam says, like an animal. Just like the animal dies, the soul dies with it. So too, a person who is an evil person, he dies and his soul dies with it.
So what about people like, let's say, before you're about tshuva or whatever, you really don't have understanding of what?
Yes, so if you don't have understanding, it's a good excuse. No understanding is a good excuse. It's when you start understanding, that's when the problems start. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Only trouble is, it's very hard to be ignorant today, completely. Why? Because today you hear, even on the radio, they wish you Hag Purim Sameach. You know, even on the radio, you're listening to the news, and they tell you today is a special day for the Jews. I had a guy, he was, true story, a Jew, is driving in Manhattan. He had no idea it's Yom Kippur. He gets stopped by a policeman, a policeman wishes him, oh, I heard it's your holy day today. What? He didn't even know himself. The policeman tells him it's his holy day. You can't escape it today. And that's the things that people can't escape. Now, in a situation where a person doesn't know anything, he's innocent. So the person has no concept of Shabbat. He has to bring, when he finds out about Shabbat, he has to bring one korban for all the Shabbats he broke. But a person who knows the concept of Shabbat has to bring one korban for every single Shabbat he broke. And a person knows the concept of every laws of Shabbat, he has to bring 39 sacrifices for every Shabbat he broke. So the more you know, the more you have to do.
Basically. I'll have to stop coming to your class.
But if you stop coming, that's also... you know there's a class, you have to come.
You should come to the Shabbat class.
Oh, come to Shabbat class.
I wish I could.
I have a question just about that. I gave Shalom Onis to my next door neighbor.
Mazel Tov.
No, I made a mistake. Okay. No one said thank you.
Okay. Doesn't matter. Good. I'm glad.
Therefore, next year.
You know why?
Therefore, next year I'm not
doing. You get more mitzvah, they don't say thank you.
Why?
You know that? Why? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you're doing it for the mitzvah.
Because you're doing it for the mitzvah, you're not doing it for the thank you. You're doing it for the mitzvah, not for the thank you. You're doing it for Hashem, you're not doing it for them. That's the idea. The idea is the less thank yous, the better. Because then you're getting some of your reward in this world. It's like your children. Do they ever thank you? I don't know. I'm still waiting. I don't know. But if they do thank you, it's better they don't thank you. It's good for them to thank you for their own sakes.
Yeah.
That's the way they show they have midot.
So
for you, it doesn't make a difference whether they thank you or not thank you. You're doing your job as a parent. You're doing your job as a mitzvah. And it's interesting because I had my daughters learn this in school. Let me just run this by you. And it's a very specific case of interest. You're not allowed to take interest, right, from a Jew. Right? And heter iska, there's ways around it, of course. So now what happened to me, my best friend lent me money to buy an apartment in Israel. When I was a kid, I was just got married. He lent me $5,000 to buy an apartment in Israel. Baruch Hashem. So it's big tzaddik. He lent me the money. And he took a note, an IOU. You're not allowed to lend money without an IOU. You have to have witnesses or an IOU, because otherwise the guy can deny it, and then you're helping him transgress. So you have to make sure you get an IOU. You have to make sure you have witnesses. So I gave an IOU, gave me $5,000. And now the halacha is interesting, very strange halacha. When you pay him back, you're not allowed to say thank you, because the thank you is like interest. Because he gave you the loan, you pay back the loan. You're not allowed to add to anything to that loan that he gave you. You can't give him a present. Not yet. I mean, later on you can give him whatever you want. But right now, as it's interesting because you can't give him more than he gave you. That's interest. So he didn't give me a thank you. I'm giving him a thank you. That's extra on top. So it's a wild. It's the hardest mitzvah to keep. Why? Not to say thank you. Boy, for me it was so hard. How can you? He did you such a favor and you can't even say thank you. So she's doing you a favor. She didn't say thank you. This way you get more schar. You get much more reward. That's what we're talking about. We believe that God gives the reward. Happens to me all the time, right? I'm a rabbi. Listen, rabbis do funerals, rabbis do this. Sometimes you get an honorarium. Some people give you honorariums, some people don't give you honorariums. You do your job. Hashem is the one who pays you back. So you do it. Some people can't afford it, some people can't afford it. Hashem is the one who pays you back. What can you do? That's the way it works. That's the way life works. So Hashem rewards us. And Yigdal, we say Hashem rewards a person with love as their deeds deserve. And he gives the wicked evil according to their wrong. The truth is Hashem does not want to punish anyone. Hashem is our Father. Hashem loves all of us. Hashem loves all humanity. It's very hard to understand, right? How can Hashem love certain people, right? Hashem created them. Hashem loves everyone. Hashem wants, he says, he doesn't want the death of the wicked. He wants them to do teshuva. He wants people to do teshuva. He wants people to come back. So some people, we said before, there's four different levels of sin. Four levels of sin. The lowest level of sin is honest. Honest means you didn't do it at all. You did it because of some accident. And for example, a person fell against the light switch on Shabbat. He fell against the light switch on Shabbat and the light came on. Is he guilty? You're not guilty at all. Honest. You're not guilty at all. Zero. The second level is a person does it because he forgot. I forgot today Shabbat. Happens sometimes. You're in the bathroom and you're so used to switching off the light. That's why they have this thing on top, the cover. But so usually it goes to the bathroom, you switch off the lights, automatic, it's reflex. If you switch off the light, gosh, Shabbat, I forgot. What is he, guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
No.
He's guilty to bring a korban. Wow. In Jewish law, it's called shogeg. But putting off a light is not the right. It's not from the Torah. Putting on a light is from the Torah. Depends which kind of light. Today you have LED lights. There's no. It's not from the Torah. LED lights, not fire. Whereas incandescent lights are fire. You're burning the tungsten inside. So a person's got to know all these different intricacies to know. And then you got to ask the rabbi, do I have to bring a korban? Imagine those days you had to bring a korban. So why should a person have to bring a korban for something you forget? I forgot. I didn't do anything. I forgot. I forgot Shabbat. It's not my fault. I forgot. So it happened to me. True story. I was around the corner from my house. And I went through a stop sign and the policeman just right behind me. I said, I forgot. He said, well, I'll make sure you won't forget next time. Mom's there. Right outside my house. My kids are looking from the window. I said, come on, give me a break. I'm outside. No. I'll give you something to remember. You'll love it. So Hashem says here, korban. You bring a korban. Now, you think it's easy to bring a korban, right? You bring a sacrifice, right? Why? You think it's easy to bring a sacrifice? It's very hard to bring a sacrifice. Why? You got to go to Yerushalayim. You got to bring your sacrifice with you. You bring your sheep with you. And you're walking down the street. And the guy says, what are you doing with a sheep? So I'm going to the temple. He says, why? You're going to the temple before. What are you bringing a sheep for? Well, I gotta bring a korban. Oh, which korban is it? Mind your own business. Don't tell me. But it's very embarrassing. So people know, and sometimes the kohanim would be mean. You so-and-so, you did what? There was a kohen like that in the second temple. The rabbis got rid of him. He would give the guy hell. Well, you broke Shabbat. You did this. You're crazy. So anyway, so that's the second level. Second level is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is not... You forget your wife's birthday, you're in big trouble. You forget your anniversary, dead meat. So it's not an excuse. Forgetfulness is an excuse. And I had a teacher in school when he said, please, sir, in England, he'll say, sorry, sir, I forgot my homework. He said, did you forget your head? I said, what are you talking about? So, what if you couldn't forget your head, you can't forget your homework. In other words, your homework's got to be attached to you.
Are there more minor and more serious korbanot? I mean, like if you have to bring...
Yes, there are.
Because if you do...
So there's a sin offering, which is sin offering for forgetfulness. For any mitzvah where there's a karet. In other words, there has to be a mitzvah with karet. If there's just a regular mitzvah, there's no sin offering. For example, person spoke lashon hara. Speaking lashon hara is not karet, therefore there's no sin offering. Sin offering only applies to a mitzvah where there's karet, where the soul can be cut off, if you did it on a purpose. So Shabbat is very, like, person eats fats of the animal, certain fats, there's karet. Person doesn't know, certain fats. So that's the problem with eating McDonald's. The problem with eating McDonald's is trefa is a negative commandment, but there's no karet. There's no korban. But if there's fat in the meat that they didn't take out, so it's better to eat pork. If you have the guy who says, I'm Baal Teshuva, I'm starting. What's better to eat, pork or better eat cow?
Cow.
No, pork. Why? Pork doesn't have these fats, which are karet. People have to know these different... Anyway, we should never know these questions, but because they're only dealing with people who are just starting to come back. In the teshuva, they asked the rabbi, I'm just starting, what should I be careful of? And the answer is be careful of these fats, because there's karet in the fat. So it's some things are stricter than others. So it's good to know the difference between them. Anyway, let's move on. So Hashem rewards and punishes. Then we said the third level of sin was, a person does something with desire. Oh, desire. Guys, I'm hungry, I'm starving. What is there around here? There's no kosher stores. What am I going to do? Oh, there's beautiful, what's it called?
McDonald's.
He goes in there, has a nice big double Mac with cheese, a cheeseburger, and he's starving and he eats it and he's enjoying it. That's called avon. Avon is a sin with desire. And that's not so bad, because there's a level which is even worse than that. And that is a sin where there's no desire on purpose to anger God. Dafka, to go out of my way, I'm going to find pork on Yom Kippur just to spite God. That's the worst. That is to anger Hashem, that's pesha. So you have ones, which is accident completely, not guilty. Shogeg, which is chet. That's called chatati. Person says chatati. That's a shogeg. That is forgetfulness. Aviti, I did it because I like to do it. Oh, that's desire. We all do guilty. And pesha is the worst. Most people don't do pesha. Baruch Hashem. Pesha is the worst. That is the sin to spite God. To spite God. And that is idolatry, basically, in a sense where you have no desire to do idol, but the person just does it just to spite God. So that's a terrible thing. Okay, so then there's reward and punishment. We believe there is reward. We believe there's punishment. And where do we learn this from? And the greatest possible reward is the world to come. And the greatest possible punishment is to be cut off, the Rambam says, from the world to come. This is Rambam. Rambam does not talk about hell. Rambam, in the Rambam's dictionary, there's no such thing as hell. There's heaven and no hell. There's heaven and no heaven. The worst punishment is no heaven. And then there's different levels in heaven. Right? And that can also be a hell. Why can heaven be a hell? How could heaven be a hell? And the answer is, number one is, I'm not spiritually sensitive. And I don't feel good being in a spiritual place. Right? So you have people who come to shul and they don't find it interesting. It's like tedious and it's a bore. Well, can you imagine the guy goes to heaven and there's a whole shul. There's a whole shul there. Or they're learning Torah over there. And he says, I don't like learning Torah. Well, tough luck. That's what heaven's all about. They're in heaven now and that's what we do in heaven. There's no golf. There's no basketball. No baseball. That's all we do all day is learn Torah. It's yeshiva. The guy says, I don't be in yeshiva. Well, too bad. That's the world to come. That's it. That's all you have. You're going to be close to Hashem in a spiritual world. You don't like it. Tough luck. That's what it is. So for him, it's going to be hell. It's an acquired taste. Olam Haba is an acquired taste. Every Shabbat, we have to acquire that taste of Olam Haba. If we don't acquire the taste. A person doesn't like Shabbat. He can't wait. You have people just standing by the door. Can't wait. Usually these guys were the cigarette addicts. They have to get back. They had to smoke. It's amazing how they stop. 25 hours, they stop smoking. It's amazing. These guys are addicts. They're addicted to smoke, and yet they stop for that 25 hours. There's surveys, there's psychologists studying this. They can't understand it. How could they stop for 25 hours? But you know what? The person says, I can't wait for Shabbat to be over. That means, how's he going to enjoy Olam Haba? He's going to wait. When is Olam Haba going to be over? Never going to be over. You're stuck here. You're stuck here. That's it. It's going to be hell for the guy. So it's very important to get used to this system. Say, you know what? I like being in the rabbi's class. Because if I don't like it, what you can do over there? It's all a class over there. It's going to be one long, I don't know who's going to talk. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva. You're going to have different branches over there. Yes? Gehenna, what is that? Pardon?
What is Gehenna?
Okay, so according to Rambam, there is no Gehenna. Rambam, I'm talking about Rambam, one of these, doesn't talk about Gehenna at all. There's heaven. And Gehinnom could be parts of the heaven where I told you, as I talked about, the guy's not used to it. So for him, it's hell. Heaven can be hell for some people. That's a beautiful way of looking at it, right?
What does or, the word itself mean?
One second. So we're not talking about Gehinnom yet because Rambam doesn't talk about Gehinnom. So I'm just going to the Rambam right now. So the other way is this thing called burning sensation in heaven itself. There's burning. What is a burning in heaven? Burning in heaven is the jealousy of someone who achieved more than you. For example, I went to class. It's interesting, we have a class reunion. I don't know how many years now already. I'm not going. It's in London. I'm not going. But can you imagine, after all these years, there's a class reunion of a school in Husband Inn, it's called. There's a very, very British Jewish school. And they're having a class reunion. So now you look into the class reunion, there's like three guys who became rabbis out of the class. Or maybe two, I'm not sure. And they're the most unlikely people who became the rabbis. So now you go to heaven, and you see all over there, your friend from class, 50 levels above you. How did that person achieve so much? And I'm over here, and he's up there. And it's burning you up. Because we grew up together, with my best friend, and he's so high, and I'm so low. Why is that? So that's like also kind of Gehinnom. In heaven itself, there's a kind of burning sensation where your jealousy of scribes is permitted. So jealousy of good people. So the guy said, how did he do so many mitzvot? And I'm so jealous of the guy because he's achieved such a high level and he's so close to Hashem and I'm further away. So in heaven itself, there's so many different levels and there's a kind of jealousy over there. How come this guy achieved this level and I didn't achieve that level? So even the Rambam system, there is a kind of hell, if you want to call it, but it's hell in heaven itself. So it's an interesting concept. There's different levels in heaven. And that's why every year we pray for the dead on Yom Kippur, right? Why? Because every year they're judged as well. They're judged not just for what they did, they're judged for the effects of their deeds, the ripple effects of their deeds. You know, this world is like a ripple tank. Every deed you do leaves ripples. It's scary. Because you do a deed, and it leaves a ripple in the tank. Some ripples you can see, and some ripples you can't see. Some ripples are physical. So, for example, the guy gives tzedakah to yeshiva in Israel, and because of that tzedakah, there's a guy learning another 5 hours. So you left a ripple in the tank, that 5 hours more Torah in the world. Now that ripple you don't see, because you don't see the spiritual ripples as well. Rabbi Shraus Salanta said, he told his boys in yeshiva in Poland, he says, if we learn well, there's a guy in France, a Jewish man in France will do teshuva. If If we learn badly, there'll be a Jewish guy in France who'll intermarry. Because our spiritual deeds has ripple effects around us. And I see this in families. One guy in the family does teshuva, somehow has a ripple effect in the whole family. You see it.
What about if you do what you think is a good a mitzvah, but the ripple effect down the line...
Very good question.
...is a negative?
It's a very good question. It's a very, very good question. And who talks about it? The Mesilat Yesharim. The Path of the Just, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto talks about it. He talks about chassidut, being extra pious, doing something which looks good. So for example, says, you know, I'm going to start growing a beard. So I'm just giving an example. I'm going to start growing a big beard, long beard. So you see me in like 6 months and have a big long beard. You say, Rabbi, what happened? You can't recognize you. You got a big long beard. So he says, a person's got to think twice before they do that. Why? Number one, it's not obligatory. It's something which is a choice. And those choices, you better think very carefully, is it going to lead to more good or is it going to lead to more bad? So he calls it Mishkalei HaChassidut, weighing the piety. The person's got to weigh piety. He says, why? Because sometimes you do something pious, but it causes backlashes and people start mocking you, and they get punished for mocking you, and you're causing it because of your behavior. So for example, he says, running to shul. There's no, it's good to run to shul. But if you look like an idiot, and people say, look at this guy trying to run. So you're going to cause people to get punished for laughing at you. And therefore you're doing, and instead of doing a mitzvah, as you're saying, you're doing an avirah. So that's what he's saying. Mishkalei HaChassidut, think very carefully how you do mitzvah. If you're going to cause someone else to make a mockery of you, sometimes you've got to do it, regardless. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. But if you can do it in a way which causes less aggravation, less trouble, that's the best way to do it. So a person has got to think ahead. That's why it says, Pirkei Avot says, Hacham Enav Barosho, a wise man has his eyes in his head. Where do you think his eyes are going to be? So some people have their eyes in their legs, they don't see so far ahead. That's what it means. Eyes in your head means, why not Hashem put the eyes in your head? Because it's the highest part of you, so you can see further. So a person who can see further can see the results of their actions. Right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 students. He asked his students, what's the best thing? One of them says, a person who sees, Haroe et hanolad. A person can see the effects of their deeds. That's the hardest thing to do, see the effects of their deeds. So we all have, we all do things, but sometimes we can't see the effects, and that's what you're talking about. Sometimes the ripple effects are not good. So sometimes we can change a way you did it to make ripple effects, which are good. So it's very important that someone, you know, I just got an email. I don't know why they sent me an email. This guy see my classes online, whatever. And he sent me an email. It says, he had a discussion with his wife. He says, how to make Kiddush Hashem. I didn't get back to him yet. So he told, his wife asked him, how do we make Kiddush Hashem? So he said, learn more Torah, do more mitzvot. So he said, Rabbi, what do you think? Is that Kiddush Hashem? So I'm going to reply to him. Number one is be ethical. You want to make Kiddush Hashem, be ethical. Number two, be moral. Very important. Ethical, moral. Number three, be happy. Because when they see people who are religious and happy, most people associate religion with, you know, it's blah, and it's sad, and it's depressing, and it's this. When they see religious people being happy, they say, wow, I didn't know that kind of religion. I want to be that kind of religion. it's a happy thing. So it's very important. That's Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is the person's moral and the ethical. Those are the two keys for Kiddush Hashem. Otherwise, it's a disgrace right there. The rabbi is not moral. The rabbi is not ethical. A terrible disaster, Bar Minan. I pray every day. I don't want to be involved. Please, Hashem, keep me away from Chilul Hashem. It's the worst that a person can get into is Chilul Hashem. Desecrating God's name in public. It's the worst thing. We should all pray. We should not be in a situation where we're like a guy is in the line. The Jewish man is in the line. He's shoving and pushing and he's getting upset. And people are looking at him. And he's got a yarmulke on. It's the worst thing. It was a scene in the pharmacy. Happened to me once. I saw over there a Jewish guy with a kippah screaming in the pharmacy. They had to call the police. What kind of Kiddush Hashem? That's not Kiddush Hashem. That's Chilul Hashem. So we should keep away from Chilul Hashem. Anyway, let's go back to our topic. So Hashem rewards and Hashem punishes. So let's go to Gehinnom, because that's the question you asked. Where is Gehinnom in the system? And the answer is, number one, is Rambam doesn't talk about it. Number two, we see this in the story of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, when Yosef disappears, Va'ered Chayim Sheola, I'll go alive into Sheol. So what is Sheol? We know there's a valley outside Yerushalayim. Coming back to your question. The valley is still there today. If you go to David HaMelech's tomb, Keret David HaMelech, and you look from the mountain out into the valley, that valley is called Gehinnom. That is the valley of Hinnom. Gehinnom is 2 words. It's Geh is the valley. Hinnom was the name of a person. Gehinnom. What happened to that valley? It says the Jews served the god of fire, Molech. they would offer their children in the valley to the god of fire. That became known as Gehinnom. So what is Gehinnom? There's Gehinnom in this world. Gehinnom in this world is Gehinnom, the valley where they worshipped idols by killing their children. Mad, crazy. You put your child through the fire. Machlok, did the child die or not die? It's a machlok, Rambam and Ramban. But they offer the child to idolatry, and that's Gehinnom in this world. So that's where the word Gehinnom...
In Hebrew, it's hell.
Yeah, that's where it came from. The word hell came from two words. Gehinnom, the valley of Hinnom. That's where they worship the god of fire, right, in that valley. That became known as Gehinnom. So Gehinnom is... So what is Gehinnom? Gehinnom, the rabbis say, is a spiritual washing machine. It's a spiritual washing machine. What is it washing? And the answer is, who are we? You know, I had this interesting, because I keep talking about, who are we? We are not our souls. People think, I am my soul. We're not our souls. Are we our souls? And the answer is no. Our souls are the energy that comes into us to give us energy to be able to do things. Our souls are compared to batteries, basically. And Hashem can put a different soul into you. Every day we had a different soul, right? It's a new soul. You get a new brain. You're a new creation every day. We're a new creation every day. So the soul is like a battery which comes into a person. So again, someone sent me an email. How do you know? Where's the proof? So it's very simple. The proof is, if the guy's watching, the proof is, I lost his email. The proof is, what do you say every morning? Elokai neshama shenatata bi. Hashem, the soul you put in me. Which implies the soul and me are two different things. Hashem puts the soul into
me.
So the soul and me are two different things. So what is the soul? And what is me? So the rabbis say this. The me is what's called the garment of the soul. We are the garments of our souls. We are the interface between the soul and the body. We have two things going on. There's the body, there's the garment, and then the soul in between. So the soul goes inside the garment, and the garment's inside the body. So we are the interface. Today we know about interfaces, because you have computers with interfaces that always... So we're the interface between... We are the ones that... So who are we? We are the levush. We are the garment of the soul. That's what the Gemara says. Le'olam yadam levushav nikiyim. A person's garments should always be clean. So you think, what does it mean? A person always has to go to the laundry and clean their garments. Yeah, a person's garments should be clean, but it's also why the spiritual garments should also be clean. Now we, our souls, our egos, that's what we are. We are the ego, which is the garment of the soul. Our garment should be clean. And now we can understand Gehinnom is a spiritual washing machine. So the garment of the soul doesn't go to Gehinnom. The soul is pure, the soul is part of God. The soul goes, gone. We, our garments, which are dirty, goes into the spiritual washing machine called Gehinnom. And there we learn out from the story of Rashbi. Who is Rashbi? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi, for short, Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a rabbi in the time of the Romans, and there were three rabbis having a discussion about the Romans. Rabbi Huda says, Romans are great, look what they did, they built beautiful houses, built beautiful bathhouses, beautiful streets, the beautiful toll roads, they're beautiful things. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, they're evil. They built marketplaces for places to be immoral. They built their roads to collect tolls. Everything they did for themselves. And there was a guy there who went and told the Romans. So the Romans said, the three rabbis over there, Rabbi Yehuda, who spoke good about us, we're going to make him the head. He's going to be the chief rabbi. Rabbi Shimon, we're going to kill. And the other rabbi kept quiet, we're going to put in jail. So Rabbi Shimon, I heard this, he ran away. He ran away, where did he run to? He ran to the cave. Where's the cave?
All right.
A place called Pekin. Ever heard of Pekin? Pekin is a Druze village. I think there's one Jew left there, an old lady. There used to be a big community of Jews there, but there was a pogrom over there, very strange. And they all ran away. So, but they own houses there. Pekin, a place called Pekin. And there you go there, you'll see the cave over there, you'll see the tree, the carob tree outside the cave. It's amazing, it's still there. Pekin is still there, that's where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is hiding. He hid there for how long?
12 years.
12 years. Comes out after 12 years. And then what happens is, he sees people working. And his son is back. Lazar, who's in the cave with him, he says, these guys are working, they're not learning Torah. So his eyes are spouting fire and they're getting burned. He's burning up the whole place. He has a voice, Hashem says, go back into your cave. They go back to the cave for 12 months. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, it's time to come out. Why? Because the evil people are in Gehinnom for 12 months. And that purifies them. So how much more so, 12 months in the cave is good enough for us to purify us. So we learn from there that what? That evil people are in Gehinnom for 12 months. And that's why the Kaddish is only for 11. Well, it's Friday, we do 11 months and 3 weeks. Ashkenaz doesn't stop after 11 months. Why? Because we don't want to say our relatives are evil. Evil people are there 12 months. We go less than 12 months. So that's the second opinion. There's Geinam. There's Geinam. Geinam is to wash, cleanse the soul. And by saying Kaddish, the Ben Ish Chai says has two effects. The Kaddish removes a person from Geinam and also powers them higher in Gan Eden. Kaddish is so powerful. Kaddish can pull them out of Geinam, and also Kaddish can power them upwards, higher up in Gan Eden. So it has two effects. So that's the idea of Geinam. So anyway, so there's reward and punishment. So the reward we can't see sometimes. Sometimes people, you see the reward in this world. And the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, there's Rabbi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We know so about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very wealthy, and he was 18 years old. They made him the chief rabbi. He says, how can I be chief rabbi? His wife says, you're too young. I'm going to throw you out. So that night, a miracle. His beard turned white. And that's what he said in the Haggadah, right? I am like a man of 70 years old. So he was wealthy. He had everything. He had wisdom. He had wealth. He had health. He had everything was going for him. At the end of his life, he was in pain. He was sick. All the rabbis were there. They were all crying. Rabbi Akiva over there is laughing. Akiva, you're crazy. The rabbi's in pain and you're crying. You're laughing. He says, all my life I worried about him. Imagine. Rabbi Akiva says, all my life I'm worried about him. What are you worried about? Everything is going so well for the man. He must have done something wrong. When is he going to get punished? He'll probably get punished in the next world. That's what I was worried about. I was worried maybe all his punishment will be in the next world. Can you imagine? Look at the thinking over here. If things are going too well, you better start worrying. Maybe I'm losing my Olam Haba. So a person says, you know what? I had a bad day today. Good! It's good. A person should be happy. Why? Your reward is hanging in the other next world. It's not this world, it's the next world. So anyway, so there's two different ways. It's a contrarian view. We always look at this world and say, listen, why am I pain over here, pain over there? And Hashem says, you know why? Because you're getting paid back in this world, so the next world you're going to be flying. Yes?
What you're saying is, I'm sorry, just to back you a little bit, that Neshama is a body, we are the interface.
Yes.
So is there three things?
At least three. It's much more complicated than that. At least three. The Neshama is not a monolith. There's at least five parts to the Neshama, and those five parts, and five parts, and five parts, and five parts.
Five what?
Five parts to the Neshama.
But there's like a body, a Neshama, and then...
The simplistic view. That's simplistic view. It's like the view of the atom, right? When you learn in school, atom, what is an atom? Neutron, proton, and electrons. Okay, that's the simplistic view. Then you go to advanced physics, and you see there's all the different parts to it. Same thing with the body and the soul. Soul is very complex. Very, very complex. That's why this whole issue of Gilgulim, of reincarnation, is not the soul comes back and this one. It's parts of the soul that come back. The soul splits into different parts. There's nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechidah, and each one has five parts and five parts. Keep splitting. So when they say the soul will come back and so on, so it's not the soul, it's part of the soul. The soul that you did not use, because the soul is your potential. So the more you use of your soul, that's your soul. That becomes your soul. You use it. It's like Torah. The first line of Tehillim. Go ahead. Ashrei ha'ish, asher lo halach ba'asav l'shem derech atayim lo amar mashav l'shem lo yashav, kim b'torat Hashem hefzo. It says, b'torat Hashem hefzo, his desire is the Torah of Hashem. U'b'torato yekei yomam v'layim. And his Torah, he will study day and night. So you have a contradiction over here. It says he desires the Torah of Hashem, and then it says, and his Torah he will delve day and night. So is it the Torah of Hashem or is it his Torah? What do you say? Whose Torah is it? So the answer is, if you study it and you remember it, it becomes your Torah. That's the way I explain it. So if you use your soul and you do good deeds with the soul becomes your Torah, your soul. Hashem says, here's the soul. What you use is yours. What you don't use will come back and be recycled. Hashem is a big believer in recycling, by the way. Nothing is lost. In God's world, nothing is lost. Amazing. No souls are lost, no people are lost. Even the most evil people eventually will be fixed. If not them, not by them, maybe there for them, but their souls will come back because they didn't use their soul, so their soul comes back. Okay, we're moving on. So look at the Rambam says. This is in Laws of Teshuvah, chapter 6. When either an individual or a nation sins, or a nation, can you imagine? Hashem doesn't just judge individuals. He judges societies. And unfortunately, we as individuals are part of the society. And sometimes you see the whole society is punished, and even the righteous individuals are punished with them. And that's what Abraham Avinu tries to fight with Hashem. Hashem, how can you destroy even the righteous with the evil? You can destroy the whole of Sodom. And what about the righteous people in Sodom? Hashem says, okay, there's at least 10 people. That's how it stops. But we see Hashem even takes out Lot. But the truth is that was extra. That was only because of the merit of Abraham. Sometimes the righteous also die with the society. Society is evil, and our job is to fix the society, and that's the trouble. So the righteous get punished with the society. It's a tough situation. So Hashem knows which punishment is fitting, and in some cases one is punished through his body, other cases we're punished through loss of possessions, Rambam says. There's so many different ways Hashem can punish a person. There's so many different ways Hashem should always... there's this famous story, right? Rabbi Abraham Twersky was at the Kotel. Remember the story?
No.
And there was a guy there crying.
Crying?
Crying. He's praying and crying. He says, why? What's going on? Why are you crying? He said, Rabbi says, may you always have many small troubles. What kind of blessing is that? He said, give me a curse. He's cursing me. Many small troubles. He said, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm blessing you. It's a blessing. Why is it a blessing? Everyone's going to have troubles in their life. I'm blessing you. Your troubles should always be small. Because I have troubles which are big. Life-threatening troubles, issues, big issues. So may always your troubles be small. So that's what we should pray. We're all going to get troubles in our lives. Why? We want to have troubles. We want to clear the slate. Hashem's going to clear the slate for us. But our troubles should always be small troubles and not one big one. So Bezrat Hashem, our troubles will always be small and to clear the slates. Okay, so Hashem, that's what we believe. Hashem rewards and Hashem punishes. But you know what? The best thing to do is kapara. It's very big in Sephardic liturgy. Whenever anything happens, kapara, atonement. You smash something in the kitchen, the cup breaks, kapara. It's a kapara, it's atonement for you. So a person should be happy. Hapach nishbar, David Amenoch says, Hapach nishbar, the cup broke, but we were saved.
But I thought that's, to me, it's bad luck if something breaks.
There's no such thing as luck. We Jews do not believe in luck. Ein mazal Yisrael, what does that mean? Ein mazal Yisrael, what does that mean? Ein mazal Yisrael, that means that we decide our fates. And there is such a thing as fate, as luck. That's what luck is. But Jews, through their prayers, can change their fates. Because our fate is not sealed in iron. We can change our fate. But what we do, what we say, what we pray, we can change our fates. No one else can change their fates. The only way you can change your fate is through prayer. You can change your fate through prayer. So that's what we mean. Ein mazal Yisrael means Jews can change their fate. Jews can change their luck by the misfort they do. They can change their fate. A Jew is meant to die so and so day. Rabbi Akiva's daughter, we talked about, she was meant to die on her wedding day. And she sees a poor man and she gives him food. And tzedakah tatzil mamavet. Right? Tzedakah can save from death. So you see, a person's deeds can change their fate. And that's what I mean. Ein mazal Yisrael means there's no fate for Jews. Jews can change their fate. Anyone can change. The truth is, anyone can change their fate by prayer, by good deeds. Change your fate. A person's meant to die. Hashem says, I'll give him 10 more years. 15 more years, 20 more years. We can change our fate. And that's what the Torah says, that L'man yibui mechev yibibinachem al adama, a certain mitzvot which have power of long life. And that's mitzvot of mezuzah. Think about it, mezuzah. How can a mezuzah give you long life? How do we know that women have to put mezuzah on their door? And the answer is, the Quran says, because they also need long life. Everyone needs long life. Children, women, whoever owns a house has to have a mezuzah. Whoever lives in a house has to have a mezuzah. Right? How does a mezuzah give you long life? What's the sigula? What's going on with a mezuzah? Because every time you see a mezuzah, you're meant to have a conversation with yourself. Which we don't have today, unfortunately, because we're so used to mezuzah. We're so lucky, we're so used to mezuzah. Meant to have a, you see a mezuzah, it's meant to hit you. Hashem is here. Hashem is watching me. Hashem's presence is in the world. So when I link myself to Hashem who's immortal, I live longer as well. That's the connection. The mezuzah to long life is linking yourself to Hashem. Whenever you link yourself to Hashem, Hashem is immortal. You pull immortality into yourself as well. So Bezrat Hashem will all pull immortality into ourselves. So even a person dies in a short time. Look at that. Look at all the greats. Arizal lived the age of, quickly, 38. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, lived the age of 40. All these greats, they have short years, but look what they did with their time. What they achieved in their short time, it would take another person 1,000 years if he's going to do anything. I don't know. It's going to take. Arizal was amazing. How did he do it? I don't know how he did it. He was in Sfat for 2 years, and all the great volumes of books that he wrote, he didn't write anything. he dictated to his disciple Rav Chaim Vital. And Rav Chaim Vital is writing for years what he learned from his rabbi that he even forgets sometimes. He said, I think this is what my rabbi told me. He forgets. He had to write 8 big volumes. The Shmone Sha'arim, 8 big volumes, plus other books as well. The Arizal just left him over 2 years of dictation, and he forgot half. So he had other students, and they compared notes, and it's amazing. So what some people achieve in the short lifetimes, it's not the quantity of years a person lives, it's the quality of the years. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu says in Tefillah Le Moshe, yes, there's one psalm written by Moshe. It's called Tefillah Le Moshe, Prayer of Moshe. He says over there, Limnot Yamenu Ken Hoda. Limnot Yamenu Ken Hoda. Teach us to count our days. What do you mean? Count your days. Everyone knows how to count their days, right? Every year you have a birthday, so you count the days. 365 days plus, right? No, he says, what it means is, teach us how to make our days count. So some people count their days, but their days don't count because they didn't achieve anything in their days. Teach us, Hashem, to make our days count. That every day of our lives should be a day of growth. Every day of our lives should be a day of learning something new. It's amazing when you learn something new. And every time you go through the Torah, you learn something new. And I never saw this before. I never saw this before. I never saw this before. So teach us that our days should count. Hashem, teach us that our days should count. And when your days count, you'll find your days will be valued. They'll have value. So there's value and there's quantity and quality. The quality of the days should change. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the quality of our lives. Our life should be a life of goodness and purity and holiness and all the good things that come together with that. So that's what it says. That you should have a long life in this world and the life of your children all should be long. And what is that, the world? It says, so you have the famous story, right? Elisha ben Abuya. Elisha ben Abuya was the bad boy in the Talmud. He was the naughty boy. My mother says, a naughty boy. You're a naughty boy. She says, Elisha ben Abuya was a naughty boy. What does that mean? What happened to him? So number one is, it says, his father was very, very wealthy, Abuya. And when his son was born, he got all the rabbis and the boy's brit. And he sees the honor the rabbis get, and he sees the glory, and he sees the spiritual energy between them. He says, I want my son to be a rabbi as well. Elisha, you're going to be a rabbi. When you grow up, you're going to be a rabbi. You're going to have the best student, best teachers. Elisha goes to yeshiva. He's a brilliant man. He's a brilliant. He's on the level of Rabbi Akiva. He says, Arba nichnasu le pardes. 4 great rabbis enter the pardes. And Elisha ben Abuya came out as if he saw 2 gods over there. And he became an apikoros. And they didn't call him Elisha ben Abuya anymore. They call him Acher. So there's different versions of the story. One of the other versions is, he sees a father tell his son, son, climb the tree, shoo away the mother bird, and get the eggs. The son falls down and breaks his head and dies. And Elisha ben Abuya says, there are 2 mitzvot in the Torah where it says long life, honoring parents, and shooing away the mother bird. And this kid did both mitzvot and he died. So where is God? There's no God in the world. Gave up. Imagine, gave up. His faith was broken. That's another version of the story. His faith was broken. Until it says his own son came along and made a drasha. His son says, whenever the Torah says long life, it doesn't mean in this world. Because there's no long life in this world. However long a person lives, it's never long enough. Right? There's a beautiful midrash that says, Adam Rishon, how long did he live for? 930 years. He gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. Remember that midrash? And then it says, when he got to 930, he says, Hashem, I want those 70 years back. Hashem says, you can't get them back, but he's not going to get them either. David HaMelech is going to lose them, and you're also going to lose them. You can give, but you can't get back. So he lost it. But it just shows how much a person lives is never long enough. So there's no long life in this world. So whenever the Torah says long life, it's talking about the world where it's totally long. It's all about Lama. So long life is only in the next world. So what a person says, I'll honor my parents. Long life. Not necessarily in this world. But Hashem is the one who's going to pay back always. Nothing is lost. Yes?
But in the world to come, doesn't everyone have a long life?
Yes, but again, there's different kinds of, as you said, there's quantity and there's quality.
In the world to come?
Yes. That's what we're talking about. The quality is how close you are to Hashem. Suppose it can be far away, on the edges of the world to come. And it's like there's a light in the center of the room and you're far away from the light, so you're not getting the benefits of the light. You're like, okay, it's like we are so far away from the sun that we don't get the benefits of the sun's energy. It's the same thing. So in a sense, let me just give you a little parable. I've never been there, I've never done it. I don't know. I mean, I don't myself, because it's interesting, because the Gemara says, Ein lo ra'atai lokim zulatecha. Olam haba, no one's been to. Gan Eden, the rabbis have been to Gan Eden and come back and told us what Gan Eden is all about. Eliyahu Navi tells us what it's about. But Olam haba, no one's seen, because it hasn't happened yet. Olam haba is a world which hasn't happened yet. We're in Olam hazeh. So Olam haba is the world to come. It hasn't happened yet. Okay, so basically it's a machlok between, I didn't want to go into it, but there's a machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says Olam Haba is here right now for the people who passed away. A Ramban says Olam Haba is not here yet, because the righteous, they'll come back. They're in Gan Eden. They're not in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is after death. So purely you have to be after death, and then there'll be a resurrection, and then that'll be Olam Haba. Olam Haba is after the world after resurrection is Olam Haba. Whereas Rambam says no, Olam Haba is a spiritual world which is existent today for those who passed on. But Rambam says no, Olam Haba is not even created. And Ramban has a lot of proofs. There's a book called Shar HaGmul, the Book of Reward, by the Ramban. Nachmanides, we have it here. It's translated by Rabbi Shevel.
So
Rambam. Yeah. So why is it called the world to come? Because for us it's the world to come. For us, Tziyatamitim is at the end where the Mashiach comes and the red dead will rise. And then the souls will come back. But according to Rambam, he says that's not the point. The point is they're going to die again and go to Olam Haba. Ramban says no, they'll stay here. And Olam Haba is in this world, which will be a totally different world. We don't even know what it's going to be like. Yes?
Where is Gan Eden?
Where is Gan Eden? A very good question. Gan Eden is a spiritual world. Gan Eden is a spiritual world. The Torah says, Hanahar Yotze Me'eden Lashkot Et Hagan. So there's Eden, there's a river, and then there's Gan. The Gan is called Gan Eden, so it's a low world. The big righteous people go right up to Eden, and the low righteous people go to Gan Eden. So there's different levels of spiritual worlds. But again, to go to a spiritual world, you have to be spiritual. Very good. So Rambam says, that is Olam Haba. Gan Eden is Olam Haba. Ramban says, no, Gan Eden is not Olam Haba. Gan Eden is Gan Eden. Olam Haba hasn't been created yet.
That's before. He thinks it's before Olam Haba, Gan
Eden. Yes,
there.
Exactly.
I'll let you know when
says,
I go.
When we go, well, even if you go, you're not going to help you. It's going to be, lucky ones will find out. Anyway, don't never get never despair. That's the bottom line. But never despair. You see an evil person really prospering, he'll get his desserts. And you see a righteous person suffering, he'll also get his desserts. Everyone will get the desserts. Hashem keeps tabs. Hashem has an account. Hashem is exact account. Okay, we'll continue next week, Bezrat Hashem.